Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka'Chava's All-in-One Nutrition Shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code SHAKE for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE. Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off.
Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. On this podcast, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. On today's podcast, we have Lauren Kite back to talk about tongue ties. And last time we talked about tongue ties and the issues that arise from them in kids. And now we're going to talk about adults. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun last time, so I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, and this is such an important topic because it's overlooked as our mission on this podcast. A lot of what we talk about are things that are just, they're not talked about. And sometimes it feels crazy to say this can be the source of headaches or migraines, but yeah, it's important because it's overlooked. And so I'll have you start talking about just in general, why adults need to be considering if they have a tongue tie, and what are sort of the implications of that? If, you know, okay, like we obviously want to look for it in kids, but if you were a kid with a tongue tie, what does that present like now, and why is it worth considering?
Yeah, so that's a loaded question, but we'll go with it. So, I think sometimes it's easier to speak from my own personal experience, I guess. I was never diagnosed with a tongue tie as a kid. And I think, and I tell this to patients all the time, it's really easy to get overlooked because it's not usually this one big symptom. Like, unless you have a tongue tie that's like on the tip of your tongue, like that's very obvious. Like a lot of times people say, oh, if you can't stick your tongue out, then you're tongue tied. But I could literally touch my tongue to my nose. And so you would have never thought I was tongue-tied, but
I literally wouldn't have. That's accurate. Like, you're surprising me in saying that. I'm like, wait, right. You could touch your tongue, your nose, and you had a tongue tie?
Yeah, because it was more towards the back, the posterior of the tongue.
Okay.
And so those are often missed because they're back. But what happens when they're further back is you compensate. And I think that's the whole key here is compensation. So a lot of times, even I've talked to so many moms whose babies have had them as kids, or they had them as kids, and they're like, oh, well, they said I'd grow out of them. And so they just are never addressed. And our symptoms are a lot of times just these small little things that are normal for babies or children to go through. And so we don't really look at them. But when you start to look at all the different pieces of a puzzle of, okay, this person has reflux, this person has all these different digestive issues, they have sleeping issues, they have hyperactivity issues. Like when you start to have all these things add up, then you know, like there's something deeper. And a lot of times it goes back to airway. So, but as far as for adults, like what I see a lot of times and what I personally experienced was headaches was kind of the big like thing, which, you know, all about the headaches, but yeah. The headaches were kind of what started with me. It was, I remember in high school, headaches and jaw pain. I guess those are the two biggest ones I see with patients and had in my own personal life, but starting to get those like tension headaches, like in the neck and the back of the head. I remember in high school having those almost every day, really like clenching my teeth, having a lot of jaw pain. And so a lot of times like our healthcare system ends up, you know, saying, well, I was like living on 800 milligrams of ibuprofen for a while, which is so bad for your gut. And for your body in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I just didn't know what else to do, you know? And if I went to a physician, it was like, oh, well, you're healthy. Like, you're the right weight, you're the right whatever, and like, you're healthy. So I get all these patients who they have been to doctor after doctor after doctor, and it's like they're getting Botox for their jaw pain, or they're on migraine medication, or, you know, whatever. But no one's ever looked in their mouth to see if they have a tongue tie and or what dysfunctions are in their mouth. But essentially what happens when you have these undiagnosed tongue ties, our bodies compensate and those muscles get tired of compensating at some point and then we start to get the pain. So that's kind of where we are with adults, I feel like.
Yeah. So one thing you said they may have told me like he'll grow out of it or it'll maybe the compensations are looked at as like, oh, that's just a normal function of the body. So first off, who is speaking that to these kids? Are these dentists? Like, are these like pediatricians that, or it's just like kids have symptoms
yeah.
and they might just say, well, they'll grow out of it.
Well, and it's whoever that mom may go to the dentist for whatever symptom. And they're like, gotcha. Oh, well, they look kind of tongue tied. So, you know, they'll grow out of it. Or they go to the pediatrician and they say, well, they're having reflux issues. Here's some medication. They'll grow out of it. And like that own thing happened with my daughter, you know, like she had reflux really, really bad as an infant. And yeah, like she grew out of it. Like she no longer throws up when she eats, but it was a compensation thing if she had a tongue tie and she was compensating. Like our bodies want to stay alive. They're going to do whatever they need to stay alive.
So, yeah.
But you don't grow out of your tongue being restricted.
Yeah. Right. So let's go down the road of an evaluation or examination, because one of the assumptions in our healthcare system is that when you see, maybe it's a general practitioner, primary care doc, maybe the assumption is like, oh, or a pediatrician, like they'll know how to screen for this. And if they don't find it, like I'm probably good.
Right.
That assumption in our world, we know it's not accurate. Mm-hmm. And there's danger in that because, at maybe potentially not really at fault of the physician, but it's, they're not trained to do everything.
Right.
And they're not trained to know everything.
Right.
And so if we assume this provider does know everything, even though I don't think anyone would say that, but it's sort of like an assumption. So talk to me about the examination process and why not everyone can actually find this. I mean, like I just told you, I would have thought if you can touch your nose, tongue to your nose, which I've never been able to do. And my tongue was actually limited. Like I couldn't stick it out of my mouth. It was kind of like a party trick. Like I'd be like, this is how far I can stick my tongue. I'd be like, what's wrong with you? Like, I don't know. This is just how God made me. Anyways, what needs to be examined? 'Cause in my own world, I know exactly like why it's missed. Mm-hmm. What needs to be examined that's not being looked at?
I have a perfect example of this. And this is a family member. They have a baby who is a couple months old. He was literally like failure to thrive, not gaining weight. He was sent to a hospital a couple hours away because he lived in a small town. He was in the hospital for several days. He ran every single test. Can't find anything wrong. And they say, well, he's a lazy eater, you know, whatever. Because this is an infant, right? And so my sister-in-law texts me and she's like, do you think he's tongue-tied? And I was like, well, did anyone look in his mouth? Like you have, you know, speech language pathologists, you have all these specialists in this hospital. They're trying to figure out why is this baby not growing? No one really ever bothered to look in his mouth. So they did thankfully send her to like a feeding therapist because they even had lactation consultants looking. And you assume, like you said, that people know these things. And she finally goes to this feeding therapist, has to drive like 2 hours to get to this feeding therapist. She sends me the pictures because they live far away. She sends me the pictures of this therapist actually like looking in her baby's mouth. And he is so tongue tied. And like, it's just like, why did no one think to look in his mouth? You know, so it's, I think that's just a perfect example of like, we have this healthcare system. And like you said, it's not necessarily the fault of the physicians. We aren't taught this in school. And so I have so many dentists even reach out to me and they're like, can you help me understand how do I find a tongue tie? Or, you know, like it's, and it's hard to just say, well, this makes it a tongue tie, right? So when I'm evaluating a patient, I'm looking at function because it's all about function, but also function without compensations. And so it's really hard to just be like, well, if a person can't do this or if they can do this, like that makes them not tongue-tied or tongue-tied. And I even, there's such thing as like borderline even. And I have patients who come in and they can't, they have dysfunction. So they can't put their tongue up right without compensations in the beginning. Once the tone of their tongue increases, then they're able to do things without compensating. So there are some of those who are like that borderline, but it's all about like you're having to look at the function. A lot of people just aren't going to take the time to do that and they don't understand how to do it. And so, and it's just quite simply, we're not taught to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, yeah, the things that we're searching for, I mean, it is incredible. You know, it's like when you hear hooves, think horse, not zebra. And that saying is common in med school. I didn't go to med school, but I alongside med students, and that's like, they're like, yeah, don't think zebra, think horse. But you know, we went through clinical cases with fourth year med students when we were in our second year. And it's just like a very straightforward rotator cuff issue, and they're like screening for certain tumors. And so it's kind of a profound like off course-ness. Mm-hmm. There's a better way to describe that. But we've ventured into an avenue that's just sort of assuming, okay, like let's check for the things that are killing you. And if you're not dying, like we don't really have a good way of evaluating those other things. And this feels like, because when you're a kid, it's, am I wrong in saying like it can be relatively straightforward, like if we catch it right away to correct it?
Yeah, I mean, it can be very straightforward. It's just when we don't catch it and then it's like you continue to do those bad habits, you're continuing to compensate, then all the things just start breaking at some point, right? So.
Yeah. So we're talking about adults and the compensations that adults have. I know you mentioned them. You mentioned a few, but mm-hmm. let's I don't know, maybe define or describe how compensations like show themselves later on in life.
Yeah. So specifically when I'm working, I mean, there can be so many different compensations. Like you start to look at, I was actually reading this very fascinating article. It's talking about physical therapy and airway and how kind of physical therapists and dentists should be working together to look at posture and airway. But it was saying, you know, even for people, when it's like your diaphragm gets in this constant state of contracting, then it starts to put tension on, you know, your neck for you to be able to breathe in. Then your nose gets stopped up. There's resistance in your airway. And it's like all from your ribs not being perfectly aligned over your pelvis. So it's just like, your body's compensating everywhere because it wants to stay alive. So, but the most of the compensations I see when it comes to tongue and just our tongue moving like it should is a lot of times the floor of the mouth lifts up for people. And that's a huge one for especially that tongue tie that's further towards the back. Mm. And that's why, like, I could stick my tongue out to touch my nose because the whole floor of my mouth lifts up with it. But then that's when you're starting to pull in all these muscles in your jaw. And then it starts to put that pressure on the neck. So, I mean, it's just like all related there. When you're constantly pulling the floor of your mouth up, which most patients that I have that are adults, when I see them and they're in that chronic pain, I can teach them kind of to release some of those muscles on the floor of the mouth. And when I tell them to like put their finger down in the floor of the mouth, it is like, like instant, because it's so tender because those muscles are working all day, every day to help them move their tongue. So floor of the mouth is a big one. Their jaw moving with their tongue. So that can either be their jaw comes forward every time they move their tongue or side to side. A lot of people engage their neck. And so that they'll have chronic neck pain. It's because they're engaging all the muscles of their neck to move their tongue. A lot of people, even just to close their lips, they'll really tense up that jaw or the chin muscle here. So a lot of people, when they swallow, they use like all their face muscles to swallow. That's one of the things in the evaluation. I'll have people smile really big and then they're not allowed to close their lips and they have to swallow. Because that tells me a lot. It tells me if they're using other muscles to help them swallow. And it helps me see if they have a tongue thrust. And a lot of people cannot swallow without closing their lips. I see people swallow with their eyeballs, which I know sounds like the weirdest thing.
Really?
But you see their eyes like bulge out of their head to try and swallow. And you're like, well, you use your eyeballs to swallow. So this is a problem.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Use your eyeballs to swallow.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
That is fascinating. Yeah. So this is a question that comes from our experience as well, where people, they're seemingly fine. Like they don't realize any of these symptoms or points of tension. Maybe they're not aware of it. The brain can actually drown out quite a bit. And is there a scenario for these adults with tongue ties where they're like fine and then these symptoms all just sort of come on at once and it's like out of nowhere and they're like, what's happening? And then you have to piece together like this history of compensations and then something sort of causes it to decompensate. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think maybe for the patient, they might feel like it comes on all at once.
Yeah.
But when you really start to get into that evaluation, I mean, we start at like you as an infant. Like in a lot, sometimes people don't know the answers, but like, what was it like for your mom? Was she able to nurse you? Did she have to bottle feed you? Did she ever, because I feel like moms are always like, well, I was never able to feed you or, you know, whatever. Like a lot of times people do know. And so it's just a matter of really like digging in. And then they start to realize like, oh gosh, I had a lady the other day, I said something about swallowing. She's like, oh, I had to get a swallow test because she hasn't been able to swallow properly. And she's like putting the pieces together of like, I've always had this tongue tie. You know, it's not something that comes up magically. So, but I do think is when it comes to the compensations, it's kind of like all of our muscles were made with a purpose, right? And so like my neck was not supposed to be doing something for my tongue all the time. And so I think it's like with anything that's doing something that shouldn't be having to do, like eventually it just tires out and gives out. And then that's when our body feels like it's breaking. And I think that's what happened for me is it. All of a sudden, I'm having migraines every single day. And you're kind of like, well, what happened? But then you start to look back and like, oh, well, these started in high school. It was never addressed. And, you know, it's just kind of like we just dealt with it. And then your body just is like, I'm done. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So if people are aware of these symptoms in their body, it's less of a, this is confusing, why is this starting all of a sudden? And they can trace it back to things that they've been carrying their entire life.
Right.
Yeah. So we've got swallowing. Mm-hmm. So clearly there's compensations with swallowing. Mm-hmm. Connect it to, I know airway and breathing comes into it, chewing foods, moving food around your mouth. What are I feel like I'm touching on two. There's probably more. Mm-hmm. What are some other areas where we might see this?
So a big thing where people are compensating too is a lot of people just don't have their tongue up. Like it doesn't sit in the roof of their mouth. And so you tell them like, hey, your tongue should be up because, okay, so when our tongue is up where it's supposed to be, you've got like, it stimulates the vagus nerve that helps you to be calm. It helps you to be not in fight or flight all the time. So you see a lot of people that are super anxious and all this stuff. So if the tongue is up where it needs to be, then generally people are a lot more chill. But anyway, so if they can't hold their tongue up.
So instead of like the Snickers, it's like, hey, your tongue needs to be the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, your
like tongue, you need to calm down.
Yeah, your tongue needs to go up there. Yeah, no, really. Like your tongue needs to be up.
I love that.
So, your tongue should be up. And a lot of people, either they have low muscle tone because it's never been up. So it could have been like they sucked their thumb for years. And so their tongue just like out of a habit stayed down and it never went up. And so they're not necessarily tongue tied, but they need to learn how to hold their tongue up all the time.
Gotcha.
Because if your tongue's not up, you're not going to swallow properly because your tongue has to be up for you to swallow properly.
Okay.
So, and then with the tongue being up, there are people that literally can't put their tongue up because it's so restricted. And that's where you get the floor of the mouth coming up for them to hold it up, or they're engaging their neck. I see a lot of people like really tense their neck up just to hold their tongue up. So I don't see as many compensations physically, like with my eyes, for people breathing out of their nose. Although, like I spoke to a few minutes ago, like if your posture is not right, then that can contribute to nasal congestion. So I have a lot of people with chronic nasal congestion, and it comes down to their posture isn't right. They have the head forward posture a lot of times. And when you don't breathe out of your nose, like it's going to be stuffy, you know? So with lip seal, because that's another big one, lip seal, usually if anything, you'll just see like their chin will really contract. So those are kind of the different compensations with the four
like different
things.
Their chin is like trying harder to get their lips to seal.
Yeah. Because a lot of times two people will have like the lip ties.
Yeah.
And so they can't close their lips really well. And so for them to do that, it's working all the lip muscles. And so you see that. But again, so then they're getting pain in places they shouldn't have pain because they're trying, you know, to do what they're supposed to do.
So we have the compensation of the tongue being restricted. So swallowing needs to sort of happen with the eyeballs.
Yeah. It's a thing. Just start asking people to smile and swallow. Watch it.
Yeah. I'm going to tell them, calm down. Put your tongue to the roof of your mouth. I'm going to use that with my kids.
You should.
Your tongue is not on the roof of your mouth. That's awesome that it stimulates the vagus nerve.
It really does.
Yeah.
It does. It's amazing to see people who I see in the beginning of therapy, and they're very anxious people. Hmm. And once that tongue is like up, like they're different people. They are literally different people.
Wow. I love it. Okay. So we have compensations with swallowing because the tongue is tied.
Yes.
But then there's also this connection between the tongue tied directly, like physically impacting the level of tension that runs through like the nuchal ligament or this fascia that runs all the way down to our toes. And so there's sort of both, right?
Yep. That's a big, because when I don't remember if I said this last time, but when I had my tongue tie release, I literally felt my diaphragm release because it had been, someone had told me before, like, you don't breathe through your diaphragm. I'm like, I don't even know what you mean. Like I would breathe from my chest. And when I got it released, like literally felt my diaphragm like go down and felt like I could breathe for the first time ever. So that restriction and that whole line of fascia is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
It's wild.
That is crazy. So we've got the, yeah. So you're literally like going through a tongue tie procedure, you're releasing tissue that's directly impacting. Yeah. And then as far as airway, so like if someone is struggling with sleep apnea or they're snoring or they wake up and they don't feel rested, is it, so the compensation is, it means like their tongue is resting in the wrong position, which impacts airway, or their head being forward impacts airway or just all of it?
Kind of all of it. But I think one of the biggest things I've seen is in patients that I've had a big improvement. I actually had a patient yesterday I spoke to, and she had mild sleep apnea before we started therapy. She's almost done. And so she did a test at the beginning, before therapy, and she just had one after. And she no longer has any signs of sleep apnea. But a lot of times what will happen is our tongue is not up, so it cannot keep our mouth closed. And so our mouths fall open, which then closes our airway down. And or our tongue will kind of fall back into that airway. And so then you get that gasping, you get that sleep apnea. So, I mean, if your tongue isn't up where it needs to be, it's totally affecting your airway, and it's totally affecting your quality of sleep, which then is just a cascading effect to affect everything else in your body too.
Yeah. So, one of the ways people can evaluate this in themselves is when you say the tongue is up, mm-hmm. it's like 2/3 of the tongue, 1/3 of the tongue.
So mine, I'm able to actually put my tongue fully up. Like when I put the back of my tongue up, it is touching the soft palate. And it, where it should start touching. So like spot, if you see an N word, like neck, no, where your tongue hits up on your mouth, that is spot. So that's where the tip of your tongue should rest. It should not be touching your teeth. So the tip of your tongue should go there, and then the rest of your tongue kind of follows back behind that, if that makes sense. So,
okay.
But a lot of people can't get their whole tongue up there.
Yeah. So that's an indication.
There's something.
But it is that like, would you have a fair amount of confidence that there's an actual tongue tie, or could that just be sort of a more of a functional, they haven't learned to use their tongue properly even though there's no tie?
It could be both.
Okay.
Like it could be either. And that's one of the things like I'm evaluating. Like is it a function issue, or is it like a physical issue? And there are patients who it's like I said, that borderline. And so we do therapy, and then there are some that we're like, we're gonna wait and see what happens. And it could be we get to a point where it's like they literally cannot swallow without compensating. Like they can't swallow without a tongue thrust. Then you know, like, okay, there's restriction back there. We've done all the things, but there's still restriction because they can't get their tongue to go up when they swallow. It can only come forward. And so that's like an indication of like, this is a tie. But no, like if someone can't put their tongue up in the beginning, like hold it up, that doesn't necessarily mean like, oh gosh, you have to go get that revised, you know? Like,
yeah. Right. And
yeah.
as far as like dental health, and this is sort of my personal experience. I felt like I did have good, dental hygiene, brush and floss, and when, you know, drink soda like ever. But I would go to the dentist, and it wasn't every time, but I would get cavities quite a bit. And, that frustrated me because I just thought, weak enamel.
Right.
Okay.
That's what we're taught. You have weak enamel.
Yeah. Come to find out, like, weak enamel is an actual condition, and like, it's rare.
Mm-hmm.
And so just having regular cavities shouldn't be a normal thing.
Right.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yep. You're doing great.
Yeah. you see a dentist for 6 months for your whole life, and then you learn this when you're like 30. So,
the dentist probably didn't know either.
Oh, seriously? Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're taught in dental school.
Is it? Okay.
Like, yeah. I mean, it was maddening for me as a dentist. Like what you're saying, the people that come in, they're like, I do all the right things. I don't eat sugar and I still have cavities. And you're like, I don't know what to tell you. I think we're growing. I think dentists are growing in that, but it's mouth breathing is a huge part of it.
Okay.
Medications and mouth breathing. That's why you see so many adults come in. They start taking medicine when they get older. It dries out their mouth, and they come in and they have 10 cavities and they've never had one in their life.
Mm.
And it's if you don't have that saliva bathing the teeth, like keeping things, like it's helping keep the bacteria from just eating away at things. So when you're mouth breathing, you're drying everything out and you're gonna get those cavities.
Yeah, changes the pH.
Mm-hmm. It's not that's not every single person. That is one of the things we talk about in the evaluation I do is like, what's the dental history? Because this cavities also like orthodontic relapse. Those are two big things that you see a lot with patients who have tongue tie issues.
Okay, so meaning their teeth,
their move, they shift. They're like, okay.
Because their tongue isn't keeping them.
Because their tongue's not where it's supposed to be. So you're supposed to have all the forces kind of balance each other. You have the cheeks, you have the tongue. And if your tongue's not up, then things can collapse. That's why I'm like a upper jaw maxilla is not going to form like it should. But so like for me, the floor of my mouth constantly is pulling and literally was pulling my lower teeth in, crowding them. So that's why I'm round four of braces, but we fixed the tongue thrust. And so I also had a tongue thrust, which is constantly pushing my upper teeth out. And so you get these imbalances. And I would even wear my retainers. Like my teeth were still moving.
Really?
And so round four, we're hoping for the best.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask is like even with retainers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these forces of tongue tie-ness are just strong.
They're very strong.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, this is super helpful. So when someone listening to this realizes, okay, this sounds like me, do I go get my tongue tie released? It sounds like just going through an evaluation process and making sure like we understand what needs to be, the steps that need to be taken. But your expertise is in myofunctional therapy.
Right.
So explain to listeners what that actually is. And
yeah. So, well, and I'm a dentist, which is not like the normal thing
right.
that dentists do. But I'm just a dentist who doesn't dentist anymore, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's really neat because myofunctional therapy is super fun. And obviously it's in the same like wheelhouse.
Yep.
But what it kind of combines like the airway and the functional piece that I didn't really get to do in dentistry as much. But so myofunctional therapy, you're looking at what's the dysfunction in like the craniofacial structures, basically in the head, mouth, tongue area. You're looking at all those. And so I'd say we're looking at what is the dysfunction and then also what's caused it, because it's a very functional mindset approach of like, I'm worried about your airway, ultimately, because that's what's affecting everything. So, like, why do you have 15 different symptoms that are scattered all over and don't make sense? And a lot of times it's coming down to a tongue tone or a tongue tie thing. So either a physical issue or a tone issue. And so, but we're looking at, are people mouth breathers? Are they nasal breathers? Are they able to keep their lips closed? Is their tongue up? Can they swallow properly? Those are the big things you're looking at. So you're identifying the dysfunction. A lot of it is education because people just don't know what they don't know. And then we're fixing those things by it's exercises that you're doing to fix and retrain your brain to learn how to function properly, which is ideal.
Yeah. I love that. It's physical therapy for the mouth.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally, like one of my first things is there's so many different names for it. Like it can be orofacial myology. It can be myofunctional therapy. It can be tongue thrust therapy. It can be physical therapy for the tongue and face. So it's all of them.
Okay. So I can actually call it physical therapy for the,
I mean, I guess. Yeah. You're the first person who's ever actually said it out loud, but you are a physical therapist. So
I can say that.
You can say it. I would never say I'm doing physical therapy, but I'm doing myofunctional therapy.
Yeah, yeah. I think myofunctional therapy, if I'm going to use my branding expertise.
Go for it.
I feel like myofunctional therapy should be what we use to define it, but to describe it, we can say physical therapy for the mouth because people understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, at Novera, we're in sort of a space that people aren't familiar with. And so you have to use terms that like people understand.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you don't have to say I'm a physical therapist.
Yeah, I mean, as a dentist, I don't walk around saying I'm doing physical therapy, but I'd have all kinds of issues there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you probably shouldn't do dentistry, you know?
Yeah, yep. I do stick my hands in people's mouths every now and then.
That's good. Oh, you're probably actually looking in their mouth, which is really good. That's a start.
Yeah. And then people do say that I remind them of the dentist because it hurts.
Like, that's why I'm not dentisting anymore. I don't hurt people.
And I tell them, like, that is the worst offense you could ever. Yeah, just kidding.
I have people tell me all the time, I just tell people, I'm at least you're not going to the dentist. I'm like, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. it's rough. Okay, Lauren. Well, any other thoughts or nuggets to leave us with as we wrap up?
I would just say, for people who are like in this chronic pain place, and I feel like so many people I see, like they've been to so many places to try and get answers. They've gotten 10 million different opinions on what they should do. So many of the people are just kind of almost at the end of their rope of just like, I've tried all the things, like nothing is working. Maybe just get the airway checked out. I mean, I know it sounds so simple, but I can just think of so many patients I've had who, this is their story, and they are the patients that I would spend hours on the phone with before we ever did anything, because again, I'm just another person telling them another something. But they get started, like, you know, we look at things and I'm able to show them, no, like, look, this is why you hurt, like your tongue literally can't move. And then they start to put the puzzle pieces together, and then their lives change. And like, it's not the answer to everything. Like, I'd never tell someone like, this is going to take you out of pain, like whatever, but it's a step in the right direction. I am not a one-stop shop. Like, well, first of all, I don't do the revisions. I'm doing the therapy, but it takes a lot of different people in conjunction to like really get to that place of being healed. But it's outside of the box, but it is an answer for a lot of people. And that was an answer for me, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing now. And it's an answer for a lot of people. So I don't know. I just hope that people that hear this maybe have some hope of like, maybe this is something I need to look into. And not just like, oh, this is another thing for me to figure out. But it's actually looking at what is causing the issue and not just let's take some medicine and fix the problem.
Yeah. It's something objective that you can find, you can treat, you can improve on. I think it's a great partnership, and we send a lot of people. I mean, we educate a lot of people, I mean, through the podcast, but also, in person, trying to understand what else could be playing into it.
Yeah.
And, so it makes so much sense. I'm glad I've found providers like you that are doing this work, because there's so many people out there that need to hear it. So
yeah, absolutely. It's fun to find like-minded people, because like I said, I'm not a one-stop shop, and there's things I can do, but there's so many things I can't. And I always tell people that from the beginning, like, this is what I can help you with, but there's all this stuff that you're going to have to go see other really great people to help you with. And so it's not an easy fix, but it's a really good fix.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. This is so fun.
Well, thank you, listeners and viewers on YouTube. This is the Headache Doctor podcast, and we're trying to continue on this mission of educating and empowering everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from that life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this journey with us. Please write us a 5-star review, share this with someone that you know would benefit from it. And of course, go see Lauren Kite. Before we actually close off here, go ahead and share your website and where people can find you.
Yeah, so it's mywholemouthhealth.com is the website. It's Whole Mouth Health Myofunctional Therapy. I am located here in Colorado Springs, but it's all virtual. So I see people in other places too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.